But I think one issue that we have in contemporary evangelicalism and even as pastors, I think it's even true of myself as I've been returning again to the books of Jonah Nahum, is we have too flat a view of God. What I mean is all the breadth and nuance of how God is presented to us in the scriptures isn't really held in our hearts and minds. We've flattened him to just a few things that are true biblically, but are the places we tend to camp out. So when we think of God, it's easy to think of God as Father for many of us. Or a shepherd. Okay, I understand God is shepherd. That image of him not extinguishing a flickering flame or crushing a broken reed. I understand that. But there's more to God than that. This is not the only images, even as important as they are, they're not the only images presented of God in the scriptures. As we've seen in Nahum, right? And I'm concerned for myself and for us in this room that if we have too flat a view of God, well, that will be enough when the hardships that we face are the hardships like a colicky baby or the death of a parent or, a job transition, which are real hard things. But when certain levels of evil and oppression set in, when the weight is not just heavy, but crushing, I don't think those flat views of God are going to hold up. I know around this room there are some men who have decades of ministry experience, but I also know in this room there are a lot of men who are, their years of ministry are in front of them, or just beginning. And I've just come through a season that's been crushing. I've had hard seasons before that, but this is the first season like that for me, 20 years in. And everyone keeps telling me, as I've sought counsel, this is what happens in ministry. But part of it is certainly the cultural moment we're in too, right? So I don't think it's an accident that God has us in the book of Nahum. And what we're going to hear today is just some smack talk. Like two taunts. Cosmic chirping. It's a divine dissing, right? We're just going to hear God talk smack to Assyria. But what I think that God wants us to hear as he hears us talk smack to Assyria is to see an aspect of who he is that we need to have in our minds of him. If we're going to be able to stand when we're crushed. And so let's listen to the first taunt. I call it the Thebes taunt. Now, some of you are Bible whizzes and knew exactly what Thebes was. Not me. I had to look it up. But it was a major central city for Egypt, protecting Egypt. And it was a, like Nineveh, it seemed like it was an invincible city. And like Nineveh, it seemed invincible because of where it was situated along the water, making it very hard to approach and attack and defeat. And yet, just a few years before this prophecy was written, Thebes, so similar to Nineveh, was destroyed. And it was a brutal, brutal destruction. You see the description, verse 10. All the people sent out into captivity. The honored men, the respected men of the city being sold into slavery. Their mighty warriors bound in chains and carried away. And worst of all, this enemy had come in and taken the babies and the infants and tossed them against the rocks. They died or maimed. It was such brutality and such complete destruction. Now, there's a certain irony in what God's saying here, because it was the Assyrians who had taken Thebes. It was the Assyrians who had done these things. Oh, Nineveh, because of those rivers that run around you, making it so hard to take your city. You think you're invincible? Really? Think about Thebes and what you did to them. And here's what I'm going to do to you. Your mighty men will be like drunkards. I remember in university, the people who were really drunk coming in who couldn't get up the stairs. You're going to be like fugitives. Hiding. I don't want anyone to see me. Instead of standing and fighting. Low-hanging fruit. All I got to do is walk up and shake the tree and your city's crumbled. Troops are women in your midst. In those days, particularly when war was all about brute strength and force, it was not a compliment to compare your army to a group of women. It's going to be like, the gates are up, the door is unlocked, the alarm system's turned off, it's just going to be coming in and destroying you guys. God's saying this to Nineveh. It's going to be like Thebes. Talked in Nahum a little bit about retributive justice, right? So I think what you did is going to come back upon you. There's a second taunt. This is 14 to 18, the locust taunt, called it. Hopefully I preached the multiply a little better than I did on Wednesday here. Begins fairly innocently. If I'm going to bring you down, you got to get ready for war. Prepare the city. Get all the water you need. Kind of strengthen your fortress. Get everything shored up. But then, God pokes at him. Now the chirping comes. Right there, even as you're preparing for war, fire is going to devour you, swords are going to cut you off, and then he's like, okay, it's going to devour you like locusts. One of the things that made the Assyrians so powerful is just how numerous they were. There's this massive, massive army that just kept coming and coming and coming, and that was a source of their pride. It's like, good, multiply. Multiply like locusts. Multiply like grasshoppers. And they're going, yeah, that's me. That's us. That's why we're so strong. You know how locusts work. The plague descends, devours everything, and then whoosh, the wind just blows it away. The heat comes, the sun rises, and they're gone. You don't know where they are anymore. And that's how it's going to be for you. You mighty nations, multiplying, multiplying, and your shepherds are going to be gone. They'll just disappear like that. You know the absurdity of a prophet from Israel bringing these taunts on behalf of Yahweh? It's audacious. But, you know, it's Assyria and Egypt, and for a while when they were two balanced superpowers, Israel's doing just fine. But as Egypt starts to shrink and Assyria comes, they just, like, one of them is destroyed. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom is more or less a vassal state. It's just like, you know, they're this little tiny speck on Assyria's radar. And yet one of their prophets comes. I've got something to say to you on behalf of Yahweh. Taking a stick and poking a bee's hive. I thought about that. Little Israel, big Assyria. The impossible odds of this possibly being correct. And it's just the way of God, isn't it? A little leaven. Work through the whole dough. Tiny bit of faith grows into a large plant. His saving plan. Backwoods Bethlehem. Backwater Bethlehem. Born to a virgin in a stable. Together 12 nobodies, maybe 11 nobodies, and a kind of somebody, but no one you'd expect. A preacher in a church of 50 out in the country, thinking, what am I doing? I've tried all the church growth techniques, but it doesn't work. Prophet name. Holding out God's message. He wins over Assyria. There's a kind of concluding word there. Verse 19. Why? Why is God taunting Assyria like this? Why is he going to bring her down like this? We've already seen it. Grievous, grievous evil that's come upon all. Grievous evil like piling up dead bodies or a bloody city or dashing children against the streets. I'm not a great historian, but I can't think of many other empires, even by ancient standards, that were as terrible. I mean, you could say Germany, right, under Hitler, how long was he in power? Assyrians, 300 years doing this kind of stuff. So I don't want to cheapen what God's saying he's against by comparing it to other things, because it's so terrible. And yet, I also want to say, I don't know what you're facing, things that you've experienced in life, things that you're going through right now in your church or in your marriage, that are great evils, that are crushing weights. And all I want to say is if God can speak this way to Assyria, then we can argue from the greater to the lesser, whatever you're experiencing. And what we need to see, the dimension of our view of God that I want us, including myself, I think God is giving us in this time in Nahum, is a city of God who would take this little Nahum prophet and go against the mightiest nation in the world and say, I can talk some smack. Young Jerry Stackhouse was getting his chance to play the legend Michael Jordan in his aging years. And before the first game, he did some chirping. He can't guard me one-on-one. No one can guard me one-on-one. Jordan scored 48 points in 3 quarters against him. That settled that. Don't talk smack if you can't back it up. We know from history, God backed it up. Just as he'd raised up the Assyrians to bring down Israel and her rebellion, he also punished the Assyrians for the great evil they did through the Babylonians. Too flat a view of God. Sometimes we need to see what it looks like when God looks down on the raging nations and laughs and holds them in derision. And he'll talk smack. He is holding Assyria in derision. Back in the days of castles and knights and dragons, there was a particular village that was being tormented by a certain strong and ferocious dragon. And many brave knights had come to defend that village, only to die at the hands of that dragon. You didn't know when the dragon would rise up and breathe its fire. So the people of the village were often in hiding in corners and dugout cellars. Lost ones who died at the hands of this dragon. In that day, there was a mother in a cellar holding her daughter. And there was a new knight coming to town. And the knight told her daughter, the mother told her daughter, this knight is coming, he's good. He's noble. He's tender. He cares for children and welcomes them. You're gonna like him a lot. The little girl with her saucer eyes looks up at her mom and says, but is he strong enough to defeat the dragon? Our God is strong enough.